Jesus said to John the Baptist, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered or permitted him. This reading comes on the broadcast today from the 3rd chapter of Matthew, the famous 15th verse. It refers to the time when Jesus Christ was baptized. Someone asked me not long ago, really, why was Jesus baptized? And I went to this 15th verse that we read on the broadcast to you today and simply gave a Bible answer. Then the next question came, what does it mean, because it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness? I am sure there might be a number of different opinions upon this subject, but whatever your thinking might be, I am sure it indicates here that it was a righteous thing for Jesus to be baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. I am led to believe, as I look at the Word of God, that before Christ left this earth, or came to this earth from heaven, that he had in mind to do the will of his Father. I am certain that Jesus must have thought before he left the courts of glory, I know that it's not robbery for me to think that I could be equal with God, but I'm going to make myself of no reputation. I'm going to take upon me the form of a servant. I'm going to be made in the likeness of men. I'm going to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then I know that God will highly exalt me. He'll give me a name that's above every other name of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And he'll want everyone to confess me as a Lord, to pronounce that I am truly a King of kings and Lord of lords, this being done to the glory of God the Father. These are the words, in essence, that are spoken by Paul in the Philippian epistle in chapter 2 when he reviews taking Christ from heaven to earth and then back to heaven, coming as a Savior, living truly as a Son of God upon this earth, dying upon the cross as the Lamb of God, destined to take away the sin of the world, and then coming forth triumphant over death, and then going on to a life beyond this veil of tears as a King of kings and Lord of lords. The baptism of Jesus comes at a very pivotal part in his lifetime. We're aware of the fact that he never did actually begin his personal ministry until after he was baptized there in the River Jordan. You recall in the 4th chapter of Matthew, if you've read it, that it mentions about the beginning of the personal ministry of Christ, when it mentioned that he began at that time to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But you see, there must have been a number of things in life that Jesus realized that he was to do. And it seems the cardinal thing that must be in our minds as a paramount factor today is that Jesus knew that if he did the will of God, everything would fall into its proper place. You know, when Christ was asked on one occasion during his personal ministry by a lawyer tempting him, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now, I don't know what this lawyer really had in mind. I'm sure he was trying to trick Christ. I'm sure he was trying to ensnare him. But it would seem as we read the scripture that at the time that people tried to trip Jesus up, that then his wisdom and his marvelous teaching became even more pronounced. He said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This was the first and great commandment. And he pointed out the second was likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So he realized that to do the will of God was the paramount thing. You know, if we do the will of God in this life, then not alone will we please God, but we'll also be discharging a responsibility to our fellow man that I'm sure will be outstanding. So might I say to you on the broadcast today, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So there must have been a number of things that were righteous in the sight of God that God wanted Jesus to perform in this life. And I believe baptism was one of them. It might be like a golden chain that would be stretched from one side of a room to another. That chain is made up of I don't know how many links. But each link in the chain would be an act of righteousness that Christ would carry out in this life. And as we use this object lesson, we find him saying to Mary in the 2nd chapter of Luke, when she found him after 3 days searching along with Joseph, she found him in the temple, asking questions of the doctors of the law and answering their questions as well. And when she asked him why he had done this, he simply said, "Wist ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business?" I am sure as Mary pondered these things in her heart, that she knew when he said father's business that he was not talking about Joseph, his earthly father, her husband, but he was talking about his heavenly father. And then all down through his life, this golden chain extends itself, link after link being carried out by the Son of God as he witnessed before men that he truly was the Son of God. And then on the cross, the great words, "It is finished," realizing that he had finished his course, he had truly kept the faith and the association with God. And so there was laid up for him after his death upon the cross a burial, a resurrection, a going back to his heavenly home, where, may we say again on the broadcast today, he does reign now as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, Jesus was not baptized for the remission of sins, but according to the Scripture, we see his baptism not alone as an example, but we see his baptism as an obedience to his Father. Baptism is spoken of as a commandment in Acts 10:48. For when Peter was preaching to the household of Cornelius, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. But you see, if you've read the accounts of conversion in the book of Acts that we've asked you to do from time to time, you found that in every account of conversion, beginning with the people at Pentecost in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost in Acts 2, clear on through the 18th chapter of Acts and verse 8, when no doubt Crispus and the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized, that in every case, baptism was carried out. You see, when Christ gave that great commission to his apostles, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Then he said in the 16th verse of that same 16th chapter of Mark, following his announcement to go into the world, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And I think that puts baptism in the proper focus. If one would not believe, then he would not go on to complete his obedience. You see, we find that repentance is spoken of as a command, but also, for in Acts 17:30, Paul said at Mars Hill, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." What does baptism really mean to you? Now, a lot of times there are people who seem to be swept up in human doctrine who are convinced, and probably honestly so in their own mind, that baptism is simply a church ordinance, or that baptism is an outward display of something that's taken place on the inner heart. May I say to you on the broadcast that I've never read that about baptism in the Bible. I've read it in the writings of men, and again, I give them credit as being honest. But on this broadcast, we want to speak where the Bible speaks. We want to be silent where it is silent. You know, if you were to pick up a copy of the New Testament and say that you had never heard about Jesus before and you were beginning to read it, and you would come to the book of Acts and you would begin to read about Jesus going to heaven in Acts 1 and 9, and you would read the wonderful words in Acts 1 and 11 that said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that is taken up from you to heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go to heaven." And then you would find his apostles going back to the city of Jerusalem, about 7/8 of a mile Sabbath day journey, and waiting until the glorious day of Pentecost came. And as that second chapter of Acts would unfold before your eyes, you would hear the proclamation by Peter as he talked to these people from different parts of the world that were believers in God but certainly had not believed in Jesus of Nazareth, that he would tell them that they had crucified the Son of God. And how would you feel as you looked at that verse in Acts 2:36 and found the words of Peter coming home to your life? "This same Jesus that you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ." You would realize that you were not there when Jesus died upon the cross, that you did not say in the courts of Pilate, "Crucify him. If you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend." But you realize that you truly had never recognized him as the Son of God. And as that picture would unfold, you would hear the story of Acts 2:37. "Then when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what must we do?" And of course, we are aware of the fact that Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brought up the subject of baptism. Listen to Acts 2:38 that plainly says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? for the remission of sins, or the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You would understand what the reaction of these people would be who had heard they'd crucified Christ. Of course, not all of them responded favorably. But what a wonderful satisfaction would come to your mind when you read Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Would you want to be baptized? Someone might ask you, well, why are you being baptized? And if you'd read on through the book of Acts, you would have read in chapter 22 and verse 16 that Saul of Tarsus, we know him as Paul the Apostle, who wrote most of the epistles in the New Testament, tells about his own conversion. He believed that baptism was essential for salvation, for he simply penned the wonderful words that Ananias came in and told him what he must do. He said to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling in the name of the Lord. If someone would come up to you and say, well, why do you want to be baptized? You could give a Bible answer, not alone by saying that Jesus did it to fulfill all righteousness, but I'm a sinner. I want to have my sins forgiven. I believe that God will do exactly what he said he would do. For if you had read on through the Colossian epistle, you would have found in Colossians 2 and 12, where it simply says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him through faith in the operation of God. And I will venture to say with faith in your heart that you would have completely obeyed that form of doctrine. You would have been made free from sin. You would have become a servant of righteousness. We preach the same gospel that's found in the Word of God. We hope that you will believe it and obey it. Be with us on the broadcast next time as we deal once again with taking a look at your Bible.